Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
It's indeed The Advertising Show. It's our year-end edition. It's would be considered probably a special edition, wouldn't it?
I think
yes,
so.
Yes, it is. And that's because of our guest today, Bob Garfield, columnist with Ad Review and Advertising Age magazine. Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com. This being a Big Radio Midgets production, we'd like to say that we gave our Big Radio Midgets the weekend off, didn't
mm-hmm.
we? Okay.
True.
So we're doing this all by ourselves.
Just to call people here today.
Scary. We're moderately tall.
Yeah.
There we go. So looking forward to talking to Bob and finding out what his take is on this past year. I'll tell you one thing. I'm happy to have 04 come along, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's been a hectic holiday season for me. I don't know about you, Ray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time.
I've had to say to myself more than once, relax.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure did. How about you?
Fantastic. And I can't thank you enough for giving me exactly the same thing you gave me last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can't take that back, can you?
No, I can't.
Hey, it's time. President Bush putting together his ad team.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't. Yeah,
his presidential campaign has added two advertising executives to the team of veteran political ad pros. Harold Kaplan, Senior VP and Creative Director at YNR. Let's see, Jim Ferguson, who is, I guess, got involved following the GOP convention. Let's see, the Bush Cheney 04 campaign expected to launch its first ads of the campaign very shortly, but the campaign officials declined comment, so they want to keep it a secret.
Well, Garfield has been doing a little political review in some of his more recent issues, and we're going to have to talk to him about that. He's kind of getting off of his normal beat there by doing that, I think.
Is he really?
Well, you know, I haven't seen him. Well, of course, politics only rolls around so often, but
right.
He has done some critiques of some political advertising. And
I think the only thing Bush needs to do to tie up the election now is to capture bin Laden, and he should do that probably a few weeks before the election.
Actually, what he's going to do, he's getting rid of Cheney, and he's taking Schwartz with him, Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's going to bring him in.
Schwarzenegger?
No, not Schwarzkopf. No.
That's another story.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We've got this hour, we've got Mary Lou Quinlan. If the Shoe Fits is the name of the theme, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, let's see, Fusion 5, and we've got that coming up next
Meyer.
Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Andy Borowitz is with us, and we're going to do some badvertising today, too.
Saw Andy earlier in the week on CNN with Soledad O'Brien.
Yes.
And they were doing a little review of, I guess, the wonderful, entertaining things that have gone on in 03,
mm-hmm.
Movies and such, and people in the news. And Andy, they had three people there, one a lady from The Times.
Sure.
Andy, and then somebody else, I don't remember, but 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it took Andy to get to the studios and then do the makeup, and then 90 seconds later they give
time
him the hook?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good on there, though. They always
good.
Save him as the stinger,
he
so
is
to
good.
Speak.
And he did sting a little bit.
There you go. Hey, let's get into Mary Lou Quinlan right now on The Advertising Show.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
I figure that I can't do a program called What Women Want without talking about shoes. What is it about women and our obsession with shoes? Women are kind of two-faced when it comes to shoes. Shoes are a litmus test for the way we look at everything we buy. We say we want comfort, yet the very first thing most women do when they go home at night is step out of their painful shoes. But still, we keep on hunting for the perfect shoe. A shoe that turns heads without turning ankles. We search for technology products the same way. Something that comfortably fits in our lives, yet cutting edge enough to say we're cool. Shopping for shoes is like therapy. Once you score the perfect pair, wearing them even helps a bad hair day. In that way, shoes are sort of like home decorating. Part of the fun is picking everything out, but just as much as sitting in that room that makes you happy. Sometimes, though, shoes are in a league of their own. This year, the new style sport. Super pointy toes. So much so that devotees are going to great lengths to wear them, or actually shorter lengths, since some women have actually had foot surgery to shorten their toes so the shoes can fit and they can get that all-important toe cleavage. What does this have to do with marketing to women? At its simplest, it's all about the shoes. Blockbuster magazine In Style got its start by realizing that women wanted to see the shoes in the paparazzi shots. How important are shoes in your ads? An afterthought? Don't. It's a clue to who your heroine is. From a broader perspective, you should know that with women, it's all about the details. The details in product design, in your ads, in your retail environment. So the next time you're tempted to say, "Why are there so many shoes in your closet?" stick a sock in it. It's her way of saying, "There's more to me than you know."
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Well, Mary Lou always gives us some insightful stuff, but I've never heard of toe cleavage before.
Well, you know, from
there's
now,
a first.
From now on, Ray, when you go to those holiday parties next year, if you can remember, there's still a few left here, maybe between now and New Year's.
Yeah.
Next time you say nice cleavage and you look down, you can just say, shoes I'm talking about. Toes.
New pickup line, don't you?
Nice cleavage.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Mary Lou.
Yeah. And
Bob Garfield on the way, a columnist, critic, essayist. He said he's not exactly a media whore, but he's extremely promiscuous.
Is that right?
Have to ask him about that.
Yeah.
Too.
Well,
Bob has been a guest on the show before.
A couple times.
So we're happy to have him back.
Yeah.
And how appropriate, too, to have this year-end wrap-up.
You know, it is a special show with Bob, and we're going to talk about all of the advertising you've seen this year, at least in our opinion, that's worthy of the bad and the good conversations.
It's kind of like a medium or a media buffet.
It is kind of
a little bit of everything.
All you can eat.
All you can eat.
Hey, you know, the Thai government apparently does not appreciate patriotic porn.
Oh, really?
Did you not know this?
I did not know there was patriotic porn.
Well, apparently a woman living in Britain has been condemned for displaying the Thai flag on her porno site.
I see.
And she's facing possible extradition charges as well as potential prison. Thai government officials said it wasn't the flag that irked them, but the rhetoric. The website reportedly described Bangkok as a city of sex.
Really?
I think they could maybe do battle in court, and she might win.
You're probably
right. I mean, what is it? Isn't this a little bit of truth in advertising here?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You go to a nice Thai restaurant.
Not in the United States.
Spicy food, spicy waitresses.
Yes.
Spicy time.
Women.
Yeah.
This could be a problem. It's not a Chamber of Commerce statement is what what you're saying.
Well, they're a little upset. I think, you know, I don't know how they deal with the flag over there in Thailand, but I guess you know, they have certain places they want it and don't want it. In America, you can do whatever you want with the flag, right? Burn it.
No.
Well, people do, unfortunately.
Yeah,
they get by with it with the First Amendment deal. But what's interesting in this article from Media Life magazine, it talks about the potential fine and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a typo. Maybe it's not. The webmaster could face up to a year's imprisonment and a $47 fine.
$47?
For violating the National Flag Act.
Wow. And how much is that in U.S. dollars?
No, it is. It's in the U.S.
47
dollars.
U.S.
It's already been converted. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it's probably, you know, 3 cents over there.
Not losing any fingers or anything like that.
Actually,
right?
It's $3 million over there.
Yeah, probably
going
so.
The other way. Yeah.
It's a national medium income, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back in just a minute. Bob Garfield will join us here on this year-end edition of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better 'cause he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's smarter than yours. My dog's better 'cause he gets.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins along with Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today is Bob Garfield. I did that for the dog lovers out there, which we are both. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Whoops, go away.
That was a bonus track.
I think so, something like that. So anyway, we're here with Bob Garfield. Bob is a columnist, as we said before, the Ad Review, his prominent feature of Advertising Age. If you get the magazine, you obviously, I bet you go there first, I bet, huh? Where each week he singles out an ad for praise or ridicule and has thus become among the more pitifully groveled before figures in trade magazine history. He backed into this gig after 3 years writing one of the least successful feature columns in the annals of newspaper syndication. That's a good thing to put that in your bio. I like that. In another life, Garfield, the host of NPR's weekly magazine program On the Media, this followed by a dozen years as a commentator and correspondent for NPR's All Things Considered. Bob, welcome to the Advertising Show, and thanks for being with us here on this final weekend of the 03.
Thanks, fellas. I always enjoy this.
Well, I'm surprised. I was told by Stephanie Saratelli, our associate producer, that this is a new bio, Bob. Is that right?
No, actually, I can tell that it's not quite the newest.
It's not the newest?
It's 2.01 is out, and you've got 2.0.
Did you keep that last paragraph in on the problem that you ran into in the first 11 months in Washington, D.C.?
Hey, I didn't run into the problem. The problem ran into me.
Well,
I was rear-ended twice by federal employees.
And we always like to ask here on the show, was that as a pedestrian or in a vehicle?
It was in a vehicle,
okay.
Yes. I was rear-ended by federal employees, and it wasn't even taxis.
Well, at least you're sure that they had insurance, I suppose, at that point, because they're federally insured.
They were covered.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we've got some great things that we'll talk about both this hour and next hour with you, and we've got a list of the top 10 bad advertising of the year and top 10 good in those categories. But overall, Bob, was it a good year for advertising this past year as it relates to creative executions?
Well, first of all, it was a bad year for advertising in general. We're still in the kind of dust bowl economy, with the only exception of network television. Everybody suffered in ad revenues. Magazine industry is just in the tank,
mm-hmm.
and this TV isn't doing much better outside of the networks, and newspapers have suffered dramatically, and it was a rough year. As a consequence, the level of production on TV especially was down across the board, and I think by and large the quality was down too. There were a couple of spectacular achievements, but by and large it was an unimpressive year all around.
Do you think there's a relationship between risk-taking among advertisers and a challenging economy?
It would seem that there would be, although most of the bad advertising I see is bad for the very reason that it does take risks, insane risks that may burnish the resumes of the creative team, but does so at the expense of the client. These clients somehow get gulled again and again and again into believing into the creative vision of the agency against their own best interests. I don't think the problem is the lack of risk taking. I think the problem is the lack of common sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned in your book, and here comes your shameless plug for the for at least this segment. Maybe
we'll never stop. There aren't enough shameless plugs for my book. To go around.
Okay, well, this is a shameless plug, take one.
Yes, take one. And now a few words from me by Bob Garfield, published on McGraw-Hill. I'm even giving your publisher a plug, for God's sakes.
Well, that'll be extra.
You mentioned in your book that advertising is not all that complicated. Do you truly believe that some of the best creative executions are, at their essence, simple messages and simple creative concepts?
I believe to the core of my being that that's true. And, you know, obviously it's a big business, and there's a lot of media out there, and there are a lot of complexities to the world of advertising. You know, I'm not an ignoramus. I understand that. But fundamentally, advertising is not complicated. You have an audience out there, and you have someone who creates goods and services, and the trick is to get the people in the audience, particularly the right people, in the overall audience, to pay attention to what you have to say and to persuade them one way or another into buying your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what could be simpler than that? But so often, this year and every year, agencies make the whole enterprise far too complicated by by being too clever by half. And, you know, if people would just go out there and sell, figure out what the right audience is, figure out what that audience wants, and try to persuade them to buy the product, you know, I think the economy would be doing better than it is.
Yeah, I guess it could be argued ad agencies across America have a vested interest in conveying to their clients that it is very difficult, huh?
Yeah, sure. I mean, way back in the 60s, George Lois claimed that they have some sort of poison gas that they spray, which, you know, was never true. Advertising isn't poison gas, but it does work. There's no alchemy involved. There's no magic. There's no proprietary knowledge. The truth is, there isn't even a whole lot of science to it. It's just having the wisdom to go out and find the right message for the right audience, for the right product or service. So, I think the agencies have created this notion that they have some sort of rare expertise. The problem is, while they're creating this illusion, they're actually subverting the process.
You know, Ray and I have talked a lot about this on the show, and it appears that today, many times agencies try to overcome the attention deficit of the viewer, and that their primary objective with their advertising seems to be catching the attention or getting the attention of the viewer. And in many cases, I want to get your take on this, but in our opinion, they try so hard to get the attention, they fail to deliver on the message that benefits the advertiser.
And it's a problem that's endemic to advertising all around the world. Look, once again, I'm not ignorant of reality. We are in a now, with digital cable, a 300 or 400 or 500 channel universe. We have TiVo devices and other personal video recording devices that enable us to skip over advertising. If you are on broadcast advertising and you don't, one way or another, grab people's attention, they are going to go away. I mean, we know that. We know that 80% of the people who use TiVo-like devices do skip over advertising. And we know that especially male behavior is to use that remote control like a video game device. You're constantly pressing buttons looking for the right image. So if you're not engaging, you will lose your audience. But it's almost as though the agency thinks that their job is complete once they've grabbed your attention. Mm-hmm. They pay very little mind to whether they're making reasonable, memorable selling points about the product. And, you know, they also don't seem to worry too much about whether they're leaving you feeling better about the advertiser.
Mm-hmm.
Often they're unafraid to insult you, offend you, gross you out, and all in the name of getting your attention. But there's, you know, as we know, there's a big difference between getting attention and winning friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and since you mentioned TiVo, what's your take on what we read?
Why don't we hold that for just a minute?
All right,
okay?
We'll talk about TiVo after the break.
Yeah, we've got the Wacky World of Marketing coming up here in just a moment. Bob Garfield, our special guest, columnist, Ad Review, Advertising Age magazine. Bob, by the way, Brad, I don't know whether you know this or not, but he was actually a speaker in Grand Forks, North Dakota at one point in time.
Can you imagine the money that paid him for that?
Probably big bucks, I would imagine. At the Westward Ho Motel.
Motel.
And it's spelled H-O, okay? Okay, we're back with the advertising show, Wacky World, and we've got advertising coming up a little bit later on this hour with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Got the website up and running as well, too, the brand new one, the advertisingshow.com is the place. So stay with us, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Austria, where Ananova reports the world's first 100% chocolate bra is on sale. Designer Rheinland Trummer is behind the bras. She says they're proving incredibly popular, can't make them fast enough, receiving dozens of orders from stores every week. The edible bras are made from a special chocolate which doesn't melt, so they don't let you down at the wrong moment. The bra can withstand a much higher than average temperature, and Trummer says most people buy the bras to keep or give as presents. Many of the bras we have sold have been for wedding presents, which is sure to give a sweet start to the honeymoon. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
From Purina.
Well, there we go, for equal opportunity for the cat lovers, too. It's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show, and a classic spot from the good old Meow Mix folks. What is it? Ralston Purina, I guess.
Jerry Delafamina, I believe.
Same people to make the floor wax. Mm-hmm. Right. Bob Garfield is our special guest. Bob is a columnist. The thing is Ad Review, and it's in Advertising Age magazine, and we're spending this weekend chatting with Bob for the final weekend of 03. Thanks for being with us. You are, this weekend, where are you? You're in Washington.
I am actually in my home, a place where I have spent precious little time the last 3 or 4 months, and it's nice to be here.
Good place to be. Suburbs of D.C., huh?
Right, at a secure location that I cannot specify
well,
for obvious reasons.
If you stick around till the end of the second hour when we part with Bob, we'll be giving up both his email address.
And the home address?
Home address and cell phone number.
Beautiful,
so,
beautiful.
So three good reasons to stick around.
Yeah.
The TiVo, talking about TiVo before the break, Bob, the early adopters of TiVo, the panel that they use today in monitoring viewing habits, it's been argued that it's not typical of the American viewing public in general in that the early adopters are the more upscale group that maybe have different viewing habits than the rest of the general populace. Do you agree with that?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see why you'd make the argument that the early adopters would have be more far more rigorous in their use of TiVo technology than the ordinary Joe because they're really into gizmos. But, you know, I just think that is putting your head in the sand. Look, there's only a 3% penetration of TiVo around the country right now because of all the gizmo gatherers. But within the next, by 2007, it will be 20%. By 2010, it may be closer to 35%. And by 2020, it should be pretty near universal because mm-hmm. these devices will come into our homes not just in discrete units like the TiVo box, but in our cable and satellite converter boxes and in our TVs themselves. This will be universal technology in our lifetime. And let's just say that 80% of people don't use those devices to flip past commercials. Let's just say early adopters are unusual geeks, and in actuality, only 50% of the people will be using it to flip past commercials. Well, that's more than enough to destroy network TV as we know it,
mm-hmm.
because it not only gets rid of the commercials, which is paying all the bills, but it also obliterates the notion of a network TV schedule, which is how why networks exist to begin with. So we can say goodbye to network television. In our lifetimes, it will not exist as it does now.
Mm-hmm.
I think networks will live, but they will be distributing not over the air. But in our lifetimes, we'll be doing it some sort of as convergence, whatever that is, nears. I think we'll be getting most of our television entertainment on our, you know, personal
computer,
digital
monitor.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the 30-second spot will no longer be the institution that rules advertising.
The lazy man's advertising medium for Madison Avenue. You know, there's been a lot talked about the upfronts this year and how advertisers were asked once again to pay increases in rates, record-setting rates for fall advertising, and yet we have the erosion of audience for network viewership. You think this is the last year we'll see any kind of increase for rates and that kind of foolishness?
Well, I'm not an expert on media buying, but the answer to your question, I think, is yes. I really believe that the crash is coming, and I think it's going to be this spring. Because there's no reason for it not to have come earlier. I mean, the bubble has to break because network TV is still the only mass audience that you can buy. out of fear and lack of other choices, people have still rushed to it. But while the advertising world will continue, you know, up to some point to pay more and more for a smaller and smaller audience, at some point they won't pay for no audience. Mm-hmm. And we're beginning to see that. You know, the loss of 750,000 18 to 34-year-old males just completely off the screen from last year's Nielsen reporting period to this year's is just, I think that is a shot over the bow to network TV. And the networks say, well, it's just a statistical anomaly. It has to do with Nielsen's data crunching. And I say, baloney. I know where those 750,000 men are. They are masturbating on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not coming back to network TV. And at some point, the marketplace for the upfront is going to reflect the wholesale fleeing from the network TV universe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it won't be this year, but it's coming soon.
Well, according to the latest annual Pulse tracking study, tracking home entertainment usage and patterns, surfing on the Internet from home rose from 38% of adults in 1999 to 54% today. So, yeah, when the advertisers and their agencies begin to scream and yell at Nielsen, and there's plenty to scream and yell about as far as Nielsen and I'm concerned, but
sure.
But when they try to complain and think that it's the ratings as opposed to the erosion of that particular demographic, I say let's wake up and smell the Starbucks, huh?
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have just a little less than a minute left, Ray.
That's about right.
Yeah. We're going to, after the break, get into your top 10, both good and bad. But how does, in less than a minute, Bob, how does a guy like you, a journalist, become a ad critic for one of the nation's top ad publications?
It all began in 1982 when I walked into my job as a reporter on the business section, the money section. It was the brand new USA Today. I hadn't even started publishing yet, and they said to me, Bob, you're the advertising columnist.
Yeah, let's just pick up on that after the break here on The Advertising Show. Special guest with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is Bob Garfield. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say but, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say but, you've said the word that means elect.
Well, fixing up Brad's liquor cabinet there at the home, right?
With Bud?
With Bud.
Yeah.
No, or something like that.
No, I drink import.
I understand. That would be Bud Light.
Oh, jeez.
On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest, Bob Garfield. Always fun to have Bob on the show. And if you don't read his column, you ought to. It's in Ad Age. And, well, let's see. What else do we want to
tell
about Bob?
Can't miss it. Just go right to the back.
Did you know that Bob is also the advertising analyst for ABC News?
Well, we've seen him on, what was it? You've been on Nightline, I think, huh, Bob?
I've been on all the shows, I think, except the This Week show with George Stephanopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
But, I make a living speaking authoritatively about stuff that I don't necessarily understand, and network TV is a very good market for that.
Well, and it's kind of like our job here at the show. Who can call you on it, you know?
Exactly.
Right? You know, George Stephanopoulos is...
They can call us, but we won't respond.
Right.
Much like the spam.
He sent a note, and he said the reason you will not be appearing on his show is because you're a few inches taller than him.
So is everybody else.
George is a nice guy and a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's a little vertically disadvantaged, but... He's that doesn't get to his character, which is excellent.
He is. I think he's done a good job in freshening up that program. Although his ratings were challenged for a while there, I don't know what he's doing currently as far as ratings. But you know, a lot of people may not know his wife and another gentleman have started a chat show during the day. You're familiar with that, Bob?
No, actually, it's news to me.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, I thought for sure
he's
going
to
say...
News to other people, too.
Yeah, and it's news to me, too, as I'm speaking of it. No, because I don't have the name and so forth. But here's what I do have. I wanted to talk a little bit about, in the last segment here, Bob, your bads that you sent us, which is, of course, the year's best and worst TV spots. When will that issue come out, by the way, Bob?
Well, that's already out.
Oh, it's
as
out?
As we speak, that's already out.
I got you.
It was published on the 24th or the 23rd of December.
So it came out this week.
The last issue of the year.
Okay, good.
Much like his book.
That came out earlier this year.
Yes, exactly. And it's called?
Well, his book is called the, let's see, I have it right here.
Oh, no, allow me. It's called And Now a Few Words for Me, Advertising's Leading Critic Lays Down the Law Once and for All.
Right, by McGraw-Hill Publishers.
Christmas 2004 is just around the corner, so right. Rush on out and get yourself a copy.
And that came out.
Buy two.
That came out earlier this spring, right?
Yeah, yeah. This coming spring it'll be coming out in paperback.
Yeah.
I know it's the greatest book about advertising that I've ever written.
Mm-hmm. Is it also the first book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
In all probability, the last.
Right. And, and I have read that book, and I know Ray has as well. We've seen it and read it, and I must tell you, and I mean this sincerely, if you have a son or daughter or a friend in the advertising business and you want to give them something worthwhile, Amazon.com. But, of course, at this point, it's too late because Christmas is over. Put it on your list for next year. Maybe birthdays, anniversaries.
There might even be a used copy at one of those half-price bookstores now, too.
Would that be possible, Bob?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's possible.
And a garage sale near you? Right, exactly.
Read it. Give it as a gift. Shim a wobbly table with it. I don't care what you do with the book.
Buy it.
It's a large book, and it could be a coffee table book. But back to your list of bad grouping. Thank you, Seinfeld. KFC is your number. Are these in any particular order, Bob?
Yeah, I think the negative ones are listed in according to how much they made me barf.
Okay.
And the KFC one is right at the top. I mean, it was just an
believe it or not, we've only got about a minute and a half left here, Brian. So.
Well, the foot cone and belding, we'll take the number one and we'll hit upon it. Talk a little bit about the spot and why you hated it.
Well, you know, what's not to hate? The KFC sells these very tasty chicken-flavored donuts that are all sodium and fat with some chicken buried in there somewhere. And they actually launched a campaign trying to persuade people that it was some sort of health food, that it's, you know, a low-fat option. And it clearly is not that. And they clearly manipulated statistics to tell what is fundamentally a lie. Mm-hmm. They misrepresented reality and... you know, you're talking about people's diet and their health, and if ever there is a time not to deceive viewers, it's in issues of their health, and I just think it was one of the most repulsive exercises in recent advertising history, and I'm glad it was quickly pulled from the air.
That's right. They pulled it off the air because of, a threat from the FTC or mm-hmm. something like that, or
correct.
Groups or something.
Yeah, Bob calls it a 12-watt bucket.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Krispy Kreme's are good for you too, right?
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Hey, we've got to take a break here, and we'll come back with more. I guess we're going to do more of these too next hour, right, Brad?
Yep.
All right, we've got Badvertising on the way with Ray Schillen, Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Back in a minute.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Going to the beach, huh?
Right.
Got Aztec suntan lotion?
No, I've got this stuff.
Oh, not that. Aztec suntan lotion is especially formulated to let you get the tan you want with the protection you need.
Uh-huh.
Want to know how I know about Aztec suntan lotion?
No.
I'm the Aztec sun god.
This is my stuff.
So naturally, I have a great bronze god body.
Nice talking to you.
Let me take off my Aztec sun god shoes and socks here.
Don't do that on the bronze.
Roll up my pants legs.
People are looking here.
See this shin? It's not only golden tan and handsome, but it's been protected and kept moist by Aztec suntan lotion.
Driver, let me off.
You want to look like this shin? Use the Aztec suntan lotion right for you and do the Aztec suntan dance.
What?
There's a dance you should do when it's sunny.
You can't poke on this bus.
Grab your toe and pull it toward your tummy.
Driver, you passed the beach.
Put your nose on your knee and hop, hop, hop like a big bunny.
Now you're doing the Aztec suntan dance.
How many Aztec suntan lotions you want?
All of them.
Oh, good.
Now we're doing
right. Open the door now, driver.
Thanks.
It's the Advertising Show. I guess we're talking about feet this hour or something, huh? It's a foot theme.
It's nice, nice continuity there.
Radio Ranch.
Yeah.
Guys, they're so good.
It's great stuff.
They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
See, if they did all the radio ads, they'd be all really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work that way, does it?
I wonder
it?
Why Bob doesn't, we'll have to ask him this next hour, why he doesn't critique, maybe he does, radio. Most of his stuff is television.
It's television, right.
Maybe it's because it's, you know, more well-known.
Because a lot of radio comes off the television, so he's... you know, taking care of two worlds at once.
True, and when we had
word efficient.
Well, and you know, since he's predicting the end of television network network television as we know it, we're actually he's also giving himself the hook, I guess. He's predicting he'll be out of work as
well. He's got a few other things going here, so he'll be fine, I'm sure.
That's true. By then, we might actually have an opening here on the show for him.
That's true. Yeah.
What did he say, 10 years from now?
He can run the board, okay?
That's true.
There you go.
He has his own studio.
He knows how to do that, too.
That's true.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get back with the more of the top 10 bad stuff. But right now, what we've got is our version of bad advertising. And what this is designed to make you a little bit more smart, a little bit more intelligent about what you do for your advertising.
And now it's time for the bad advertising item of the week.
So as we wrap up the year of 2003, what do you have there?
Well, we have a unique bad advertising today. We have this being the end of the year show, Ray.
Right.
This week's bad advertising item of the week goes out to every advertiser across America who has in the past 12 months used any of the following cliches in their advertising.
Okay.
The lowest prices of the year. The best deal in the history of our company.
Definitely.
Red hot savings.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed low prices. We will not be undersold. Prices too low to advertise. Dealing like there's no tomorrow. And, of course, yours while they last. Now, I have about seven more. Stay with me here, folks.
Uh-huh.
If you're taking notes, we'll post these on your website. Not our website, your website. Best kept secret in town, buy now and save, and much, much more. Friendly, courteous service, blowing away the competition, and my personal favorite, Ray, we've talked about this on the show, mention this ad and receive some special gift or 20% off.
Well, there's a good example of somebody who doesn't really believe in what they're doing and wants to see an immediate return.
Well, they want to monitor it. They don't want to get response. They want to monitor it, and that's more important. But, you know, make a commitment now, folks. If you are any of the guilty parties, be it advertisers or creators, that recognize any of those cliches in your advertising in 2003, let's make an effort. What do you say? Next year, 2004, let's dig deep within our creative minds and avoid those lazy, easy-to-go-to cliches that truly fall on deaf ears or deaf eyeballs.
Deaf eyeballs.
Deaf eyeballs. That would be blind. That would be Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And have no meaning to today's consumer in the 21st century.
Oh, please.
So let's put the pen down, get back away from the keyboard, and try to do something unique next year.
That is that's some good advice.
And right here in the
people are too smart. They don't believe the other stuff, folks. They don't believe it.
And we want to mention that Bob's book that we plugged last hour,
which would be
Let me go look.
And now a word
from me by Bob Garfield, published on McGraw Hill.
That's three plugs in 1 hour.
McGraw Hill Publishers. But I want to mention that Bob's book, there's some red-hot savings right now in Bob's book. It's guaranteed low prices on Amazon.com.
For
and while supply
a limited time
lasts, it's the best-kept secret in town, I want you to know.
Mention the advertising show when you purchase your book.
They'll add 20% to the original cost.
Yeah. They'll take your order.
So there you go. Bad advertising for everyone.
Bad advertising and a good words of wisdom for the new year.
Well, it was more of a, like you said at the beginning of the show, it was more of a buffet, a smorgasbord.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes. I always like the ones, family-owned and operated.
Like I care?
Who the heck cares?
Well,
Who cares?
Right.
Nobody.
In some cases, if it's family-owned and operated, you wouldn't go.
It's true. If you didn't like one of the family members, you just shot yourself in the foot.
Well, you're hoping you're dealing with more than just a mom-and-pop shop,
you
know, depending on what your product is.
We need to put those up on the website or something as a little guideline for folks not to
do them. Click here and don't do this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something we could work on 2004.
It's kind of like a spell check thing. If any of these words show up, you get a little error message. Yeah, right? Exactly. We've got to take a break here. And, of course, we've got another hour coming your way of the advertising show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And next hour is, indeed, Bob Garfield and more of the top of 2003 and the bottom as well. Including more of probably of the KFC type stuff, too.
The best of Bob Garfield next
hour. The best.
Hour. Yeah. Last hour was
the worst
portion. No, he's a great guest. If you didn't catch any of that, stick around.
Okay. And if you didn't, if you're not able to stay for the whole show, keep in mind we will have this on the website shortly after the show at theadvertisingshow.com. It's kind of a cool deal we have here. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, the special year-end edition. We've got confetti, we've got champagne, and we don't have any of that. You've got your glass of water, and that's about it, don't
we?
That's
it, yep.
Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Back next hour with more. Don't you go away.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Yep, back for hour two of The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Our special guest today is Bob Garfield, and the show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, which means it's pretty grand. Bob Garfield, if you were with us last hour, we hope you were. You heard a little bit about some of his insight into the not-so-good, the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing, and it's so true. Boy, talk about truth in advertising. How in God's name can you convince somebody that Kentucky Fried Chicken is good for you? That's ridiculous.
They got a lot of publicity out of that campaign. Unfortunately, it's the kind you don't want.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll hear more from Bob this this hour. We've got Patrick Meyer, Fusion 5. Igniting growth is his topic. We've got the wacky world of marketing. Again, Andy Borowitz is going to be joining us, too, this hour as well.
As he does
so
every
show.
There
we go.
As he does every show. Has he been in that last position? He kind of rotates, doesn't he?
No, he's in the last position.
He's always in the last position.
But,
well,
we don't
want Andy to know
it's
that.
It's a prime quarter hour.
That's true.
It is.
Well, and it's what
people wait for.
We put our gems there at that last segment so people just stay the entire 2 hours.
That's a good way to put it.
One more reason, Ray, to get angry at the French during the holiday season.
Yes.
Chablis, an appellation in Burgundy, of course, Burgundy, France, has launched a campaign as part of an effort to protect geographic indications. The campaign makes the point that consumers know location matters.
Okay.
But what the campaign does, and they have a point, the campaign, this is the creative angle to this, confuses the origins of well-known U.S. products, posing questions such as Washington apples from Nevada. The campaign also rotates several different headlines, such as Alaskan salmon from Florida, Valencia oranges from Maine, Gulf shrimp from Nebraska. I was up in Iowa once. Asked them if those shrimp swam up the Mississippi to get there.
They did. They're old.
But the full-page ads explain why Chablis can only be from Chablis.
Yes.
And the ads will run in The Economist, The Weekly Standard, Wine Spectator. That's an obvious. Mm-hmm. And the New Republic. I guess they're going after the conservative sector there. Ads were created by Blue Worldwide. But, you know, Chablis wants to follow in the footsteps of years ago where Champagne tried to say, we own that Champagne region of France.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, everybody got upset and we'd say, well, it's sparkling wine. Then we're going to call it over in the U.S.
Right.
And then many French companies bought champagneries over in the U.S. said, hell with it, we'll call it champagne. Anyway, it's a funny thing. So if you see Chablis, you see an ad out there, just realize that's a region of Burgundy, and you can't call all wine Chablis unless it's from Chablis.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice to know.
Yeah.
Something else, too, that you can't call if you guys want to advertise.
What's that?
You can't say Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got to say the big game.
The big game.
Right.
If you try to say Super Bowl, you'll be in big trouble.
Super trouble.
Super big trouble. Yeah. Time for Patrick Meyer on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's The Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
When the space shuttle takes off, they say, we have ignition, we have liftoff. Today I'm going to talk to you about ignition. Ignition is all about people, energy, momentum, and the effect it has on the total business and business growth. One of the things I found over the years working at Fusion 5 is that when you walk into a new business pitch, in the first 5 minutes, you know whether you've had a win, because immediately there's a meshing of energy coming from the client and yourself. Well, let me give you some examples of people that do that every day. Start at the CEO level. Richard Branson is a classic. Everything that he touches and everything that echoes out from him drives a whole different level of energy and passion in Virgin, Virgin Airlines, Virgin Mobile, and all of their services and their products. From an agency standpoint, how would you like to compete versus Crispin Porter? They ignite energy. They are energy and creativity. You saw it reflected in what they've done for Mini. Miller Beer, a lot of people would say down and out brand. But SAB bought Miller and it's a whole different story. And they're winning in the marketplace, and their numbers are up. Sprite, a year ago, with flavors coming out from every brand, Sprite was running to catch up. Now they've ignited a whole new energy on the brand called Sprite Remix. You see it in the marketplace, you see it in advertising, brand new packages, new flavors, a whole new energy. So what can you do for yourself, for your team, for your agency? Well, take a look at your own energy, your own momentum. Rate it scale of 1 to 10. If you're 7 or below, with 10 being the max, you need to retool how you go to market. By igniting energy, you're igniting brand and business growth. Give it a try.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
Yes, it has. As we lead you into 04 with some good advice from Patrick, part of the show here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, about to join Bob Garfield in conversation for hour number two. So we'll be with Bob. Wacky World of Marketing, Andy Borowitz on the way, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you've seen this, Ray, but I'm going to ask Bob when we get it back on here in the next segment about Gordon Elliott. You may recall the Aussie who used to have the TV talk show entitled The Gordon Elliott Show.
How appropriate.
Then I saw him for a while on the Food Channel that I'm beginning to call the Emerald Channel because they keep repeating Emerald every damn time I turn it on. and now we see him doing spots for Campbell Soups.
Right.
Which my question to Bob is, and he can't hear us now. He may be able to hear us, but he can't respond to this because he's not on. But my question is, A, what do you think of Gordon Elliott?
Mm-hmm.
And B, you know, they were just coming off of those spots where they were featuring athletes.
Right.
Remember? I think Jordan was one and some others.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And they had some radio going where they were mom and athlete were doing a little back and forth.
Yeah.
Now I guess they grew tired with that, and now we're on to Gordon Elliott.
No, they felt they had to interact more with people at their local level, I guess.
He has a bit of a more personable approach to it.
Who, Gordon does?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're memorable. I don't know that I can sit there and go, okay, it's him and a kid sitting there, and he says, here, eat this soup.
Right.
Other than that, I don't know what the value is that I'm imparted with.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just saw a magazine ad, too, and I'm not – I think it was
Scratch and Sniff?
No, it was for Campbell's, but it was for Healthy Choice. I forget.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have been for a different brand because it didn't have any of Gordon Elliott in it, and you would think that they would put that into magazine advertising.
And you know what you just did is probably what a lot of people do. They kind of remember the category, but fuzzy on who the advertiser was.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, isn't it?
It is sad.
Well, this magazine ad had a sandwich, a crumbly old little sandwich, and then below it there was a can of soup, you know, and it's like bad and good kind of stuff. So, interesting. I don't remember the name of the product, though.
What a concept. Soup and sandwich.
Yeah, well, they're saying get rid of the sandwich, just eat the soup.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's the low-carb deal. that Atkins
the
deal.
The Atkins stuff, yeah.
That
right.
went wild over there in Germany where that guy ate that other guy.
Oh, jeez.
That's Atkins times 1,000. That guy just went off, you know, the deep end.
You see?
Protein is a good thing, but let's draw the line here, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, as long as we're talking about food and not that guy, Red Lobster. Red Lobster's having some problems. Do you eat at Red Lobster?
No,
I don't either.
I don't think I was. I think I was in college last time I ate at Red Lobster.
Well, they're having some problems. Share the Love theme, the seafood chain reported. This is interesting. They're blaming the marketing for their sales skid, okay, which is, I guess, true. But they're saying the Share the Love theme is not doing very good for them. It's their first quarterly same-store sales decline in 24 quarters, and Darden Restaurants blames marketing for the slide.
The theme should be Share the Blame.
Share the Blame.
Don't you think?
You going to eat all that? Something like that.
Yeah.
Bob Garfield up next, columnist Ad Review, Advertising Age magazine with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And we'll talk to Bob back in just a minute.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, things go better with Coca-Cola, things go better with Coke. Life is much more fun when you're refreshed.
And Coke refreshes you best.
It's the refreshingest. Food goes better with Coke.
It's the Advertising Show. Ray Shillins along with Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today is Bob Garfield, a columnist with Ad Review at Advertising Age magazine, and he's been a guest on the show before. We felt it appropriate that this year-end wrap-up was a part of, you know, to have him on the show. So, Bob, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, yeah.
I'd say that tentatively. I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Hell yeah. If you base that on the...
If you don't like it, you can get your money back, Bob.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's basing that on the number of plugs he received last hour for his book.
He got three.
That's true.
We had to log those.
Yeah. And we did log those, didn't we? Those were live IDs. Last segment, I was mentioning, for those that just may be joining us, Gordon Elliott has a campaign that he's involved with Campbell Soup. A lot of people may remember Gordon from the... TV talk show entitled, oddly enough as it may sound, The Gordon Elliott Show.
Right.
And he also did a few bits on the Food Channel. And wanted to ask you, Bob, your take on the new warm and fuzzy spots from Campbell Soup that feature Gordon Elliott. And what are they doing? I mean, weren't they just doing some celebrities with the sports folks not so long ago, and now they're in the Gordon Elliott deal?
Well, the celebrity stuff was for the chunky soup line.
Ah.
And Gordon Elliott at least started doing strictly the condensed soup line. As you know, the condensed soup line, which is the one where you add a can of water to the condensed glob that you spoon into the pan,
mm-hmm.
That has been just struggling for now decades. It's going on 20 years that they've been losing share year after year after year. Because of, you know, major societal mega trends, women working outside the home and so forth, and it's just a lot easier to open a can of soup and heat it than it is to take all of the trouble to stir in one can of water. Anyway, that plus the sodium consciousness and other things have really harmed the condensed soup business, and they've tried to fight against this for the last 15 years or so by showing us increasingly emotional, increasingly sentimental, I think, mawkish advertising, trying to create a connection between the condensed soup that we all grew up with and our present lives. And they failed. Just they keep striking out, and the brand continues to diminish. So they just decided to try a different tone. So they have this guy, Gordon Elliott, whose shtick is to be kind of in your face and somewhere between charming and obnoxious and walking into people's homes and forcing them to eat condensed soup. It's kind of like having the Symbionese Liberation Army coming in with chicken noodles. And the thing is, I kind of like it. He's appealing to women because he's sort of a bad boy without being entirely obnoxious and got a, you know, that Australian accent and nice deep voice, and he's got his wits about him. And I don't think that advertising is the solution to their brand problems by any means, but it's a new way of talking to the principally female audience, and I'd like them to stay with it for a while.
Yeah, I agree. I think it gets noticed, and it's a new approach, and I think his accent works well with the approach. Ralph Nader just emailed us, and he says he thinks him with Elliott going in there making those kids eat that condensed soup could be a form of child abuse.
It depends on what kind.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of tomato. How about you, Ray?
Tomato?
Yeah.
Chicken noodle.
Chicken noodle was
chicken
good
noodle.
As well.
You know, when you think about it, though, why do they keep making it? Why don't they just get rid of it? I mean, they sell a lot more. You know, you add the water to that stuff, and it makes twice as much as you normally buy in a can.
Well, that's what the chunky is, right, Bob? That's kind of creating that new category that you
The chunky, I think, was created to compete against the Progresso soups, which were the full-flavored soups with lots of meat, potatoes, and so forth in the can without any water to be added. And the Progresso was killing them in the 70s, and they came out with the chunky soup line, and they've done quite well with that. And it coincided with the Reagan administration and almost no one-earner households, and women didn't have time to fuss around with condensed soup. And the quality of the chunky and the Progresso was greater than the condensed stuff. So, these are problems that advertising can't necessarily solve. So, but they still sell. They still sell, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of condensed soup.
Right.
It's a cash cow. I don't think they're they're not going to abandon it.
Yeah, they're not ready to. Yet. And just for the record, and before we move on, Ray and I were both wearing hairnets during that discussion of soup, so I just want to make that clear.
That's good.
Miller Lite Ogilvy out of New York. I got to tell you, I can't add to what you've already said about the Miller Lite campaign. Why don't you just take it from there, Bob, and give us your take on the campaign that, as you describe it, the two hooterific women wrestling in their bras. Take it away, Bob Garfield.
All right. Well, this is the infamous cat fight series of spots that I think was the second most disgraceful episode in advertising in the United States in 2003 for several reasons. Let's start with it has nothing to do with beer, not a single thing to do with beer. The new owners of Miller realized that Light, that the previous owners had destroyed the franchise almost entirely with bad advertising, and they were trying to find the lowest common denominator for getting men back into the fold to drink this stuff. And they thought, well, how about boobs? And they came up with four spectacular ones, and they had these women in this sort of quasi-lesbian situation in a cat fight in the middle of wet cement. And it got people's attention for the same reason Maxim magazine or Playboy gets men's attention, because it showed women, you know, with gigantic headlights touching each other provocatively. But once again, it had nothing to do with beer. That's A. B, it played on the basest impulses of the target audience. You know, I have to admit, I have the arrangement of chromosomes that makes me stare at two attractive women with big jugs, and there was something about it that got my attention as well, but I hated myself for it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, fundamentally it's just wrong. A civilization is all about sublimating our basis instincts to try to all get along with respect and mutual dignity, and I just think this was insulting to women and playing on the most puerile instincts of men. And by the way, women drink beer.
Sure.
So on top of everything
especially
else,
light
it's
beer.
Enraging mm-hmm. their target, a substantial portion of their consumer base. So on every score, it was just a disaster. And I predicted it would be that, and they ran with it because it was getting some publicity, but their share continued to drop, and lo and behold, they finally went away.
And when women do drink beer, it's typically light beer.
And it's typically light beer.
How
could they?
They did a study, Bob, and they found that chicken wings spiked during those commercials. Sales of chicken wings across bars and restaurants, especially those orange-signed bars and restaurants.
Really?
It'd be Hooters.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. But,
yeah.
No, I agree. I think Ray and I are in a total agreement with you. After we saw the commercials, we felt a little dirty as well. We would begin to walk towards the shower, and then we decided, no, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But it
yeah,
really did. Bad. It was just blatant sexism for no apparent reason. How much time do we have left in this segment?
Well,
Ray?
Just about a minute. But why don't we go ahead. Do you have a question?
All right. Well, real quickly, I want to just jump to the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Association spot. So we have less than a minute left.
Yes, we do.
In fact, there's the theme music, Bob. We're going to talk about that because it's still in keeping with what you were just talking about in terms of some sexism, some raunchiness. I do remember reading your critique on that in Ad Age, and we'll do that right after the break.
Special guest is Bob Garfield here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, and we'll continue. We've got the Wacky World of Marketing coming up next. A little bit later on this hour, it's Andy Borowitz, and he'll be joining us too, so stick with us. On the Advertising Show, remember, the place to go off the radio is the website, and that's theadvertisingshow.com.
World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Bulgaria, where Ananova reports Bulgarian beekeepers are marketing thistle-infused honey as a natural and cheaper alternative to Viagra. A spokesperson for the Bulgarian Beekeepers Association say they're optimistic their new line will be a bestseller. It really works, they say. Thousands of Bulgarians can't be wrong, and we haven't heard a single complaint. The thistle honey launched at the annual Bulgarian Beekeepers Fair was marketed as the solution for Bulgarians hoping to sweeten up their love lives. It was also noted that it was mostly women who were making a beeline for thistle honey to boost their men's sexual appetite. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight, let it be low and proud.
Let it be low and proud.
It's been so long. Hey, I'm glad to see you.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsythe back. And I guess we're on a beer theme. Might as well be, you know, celebrating the holiday and everything like that. And our special guest is Bob Garfield, columnist with Ad Review, Advertising Age magazine. And we're talking about the look back at 2003. So far, we've talked about a few campaigns. So let's continue that.
And, you know, we will talk about Budweiser, which is in his good category. But before we do that, and staying with the blatant sexism and kind of a raunchy approach to advertising, the fine folks at R&R Advertising out of Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Association, ranking number 6 on Bob Garfield's list of bad advertising. Bob, share a little bit with our audience if they're not familiar with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Association ads and why they were selected for.
Well, let's just look at the marketplace. Las Vegas is in a difficult situation. It used to be just them in terms of legal gambling, and then it was them versus Atlantic City, which siphoned off a lot of the people from the East Coast. But now it's them versus Atlantic City and something like 23 states and untold numbers of Indian reservations. So the lure of the idea of getting on a plane and going all the way to Las Vegas to gamble legally is no longer an exclusive province of that belongs to them. So they've got a lot of competition issues. They tried to deal with this by making for the past 6 or 7 years by making it a family destination, and the mom and dad would gamble, and the kids would play in the hotel kids center, and everybody would have fun, and that just failed miserably. So now they've decided to return to the sort of seductively dangerous aspects of Las Vegas, and you go and do some naughty stuff that you wouldn't necessarily do at home, and it's called what stays what happens here stays here, or something like that.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's not a terrible positioning up to a point when you. Las Vegas's clientele is mostly middle America, and they're not coming principally from L.A. and New York and Chicago. They're coming principally from La Crosse, Wisconsin. And the idea of being a little bit dangerous is okay. And several of the ads that sold that idea I thought were fine. One particularly charming one was with a woman who was a businesswoman there for a convention who winds up married to some young, unbelievably handsome guy of vaguely Latin American origin. So, and she doesn't know how she got herself in this predicament, but she's delighted with how it turns out. Okay, that's fine. But there's another one where a bunch of conventioneers, Shriners, show up to Las Vegas for a convention, and one of them turns up missing, and the only thing that's left behind is his false teeth. Now, you want to talk about black humor, but you know, who advertises a resort destination by saying, show up and you might die?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's that all about?
You lay your logo over a body bag at the end in graphics.
yeah, right.
I'm sure the creative team was just, you know, rolling on the floor when they came up with the idea, and I'm sure it was hilarious at every moment in the production. But needless to say, it's not the message you want to send back to Middle America, because that isn't sort of vaguely naughty. That is absolutely forbidding and sinful and all of the things that your target audience doesn't really want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just no way to position a resort destination. Come here and you may never go home. So they pulled it, of course. The other commercials continued to run. That one disappeared. But once again, this notion of being subversive that so permeates ad agencies and so infects clients, it's just out of control.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I did, you know, last year, shifting gears here off your list, but just talking about advertising in general, last year Old Navy had some spots around the same time where Zsa Zsa Gabor, the character playing Zsa Zsa Gabor, of course, Morgan Fairchild, and the old spoof on Green Acres for Old Navy. This year we have Fran Dresser doing Old Navy spots. What do you think of that?
You know, they're eye-catching. I don't really have any opinion on them one way or another. I don't quite understand how the Old Navy campaign works for the 16-year-olds that it's principally targeting, because I don't even know that they understand the pop cultural references that are so infused the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how Old Navy is doing. I know that the parent company was struggling with all of its levels of stores, Gap, Old Navy, and let's see, what's the third? Republic, I guess.
Yep.
Right. And so the short answer is I seldom say this, but I just don't know.
You know, my guess, and I haven't stepped foot in an Old Navy, but my guess was when they were doing the targeting of the old TV sitcoms and so forth, that maybe parents were taking their children in there, and it was supposed to resonate with that demographic. I don't know.
Maybe. And my daughter has said to me once, "Daddy, you don't understand. Your generation is my generation. They're so accustomed to TV Land and Nick at Night, and they've seen so much of the stuff that I grew up with that they actually do," she says, "get the cultural references." But I don't know. The Old Navy stuff seems to me to lay it on pretty thick, and I'm not sure. Actually, I've probably used the wrong metaphor. They seem to making pretty oblique references to things that I'm not sure the kids will pick up on. If they don't pick up on this sort of general campiness of it, I'm not sure what there is for them to understand.
And to put Fran Drescher in that mode, too. I mean, you know, before it maybe made sense with the, you know, some of the classic TV stuff like that, but Fran Drescher is like also a has-been in many respects, isn't she?
Plus her voice irritates the hell out of you.
I kind of like her voice.
Oh, it's
very cool. That's good. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest, Bob Garfield. The good news is we've got another segment with Bob, and we're not through with this whole thing yet, so we'll stick around, and you do, too. You'll hear more at the interview.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one. Schaefer pleasure doesn't fade even when your thirst is done.
It's a year-end edition of The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Bob Garfield, of Advertising Age Magazine's Ad Review. And one more segment with Bob, and still more ads to trash.
Yeah, Bob.
So little time.
True. And thank you for the Schaefer beer, keeping it in the East Coast genre. Do they still have Schaefer out there, Bob?
I haven't seen it in quite a number of years. You know, as you know, Brad, Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
Yeah.
Schaefer pleasure doesn't fade even when your thirst is done.
No.
The most rewarding pleasure in this man's world for people who are having fun, Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
So there
now,
goes.
So the fact that I haven't heard that ad in probably 35 years and can recite it, doesn't that tell you that maybe, just maybe, jingles should be back because they have a way of and working their way into your psyche and never letting go?
We had, I couldn't agree with you more. We had a guest on a few months ago that said that that he, and he's a big-time creative director at one of the top ad agencies here in the U.S., and he said he was not a big believer in jingles, and I asked him why, and he said it was just a personal issue.
But there hasn't been a good jingle. There has not been a good jingle in a long, long, long decades.
Right? I agree. Any come to mind that you've heard in the last year or so, Bob?
No, you know, the problem is they're all gone to these rock music licenses, which, with very few exceptions, just don't have any impact. You know, the Bob Seger song, Like a Rock, was perfect for Chevy.
Sure.
And I think that might be the only thing on the list. So why they've gone in this direction is just a mystery to me.
Well, I think what I see happening, and you back me up on this if you agree, Bob, instead of unique and customized jingles that we used to hear. We hear Michael McDonald doing an old rendition or a new rendition of an old spot, and we see a lot of licensing going on among
music. MCI, and James Taylor did the same thing for MCI.
Yeah, music that's already been a hit, and then they bring it back and then line it up with a product as opposed to customizing some work. Is that a mistake, do you think, Bob?
Well, I understand the rationale behind it. You know, these songs come sort of packed with their own equity, and the idea is to find a correspondence between the emotional attachment that the listener has, especially a certain demographic of listener, with the music. And you sort of get instant people instantly listen to hear what this song is advertising, and then I guess supposedly respond to it positively. But you know, I think that's a long way to go. When a jingle can just absolutely worm its way into your psyche, and never go away. I mean, you say there aren't a lot of jingles that you can remember lately. That's true because people aren't using them. But I can sing them going back probably 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't start plugging my book more in this segment, I threaten you, I will start singing them.
Are you speaking of the book and now a few words from me by Bob Garfield, published by McGraw-Hill?
Yeah, okay. I love the way you say that. Say it again.
Well, just it's like one hit begets another, begot.
He wants another plug.
He does?
Yeah, better give it to him.
And now a few words from me. And that's by Bob Garfield, published by Hooter and Hill. I mean, McGraw and Hill, out of New York. Bob, have you ever been asked to star in a commercial?
No, I have never been asked to star in a commercial. However, I once was an extra in a commercial way back about 20 years ago. I was doing a feature for USA Today, and I was in a Joe Settlemyer commercial for Almaden Wines. But unfortunately, I was on the cutting room floor.
You got cut? A shame. Did you get paid, though?
No, I didn't get paid. Well, I got paid by USA Today.
Yeah, okay.
As a writer, yeah. Well, is it true, and Ray and I were talking about this before we went on the air today, is it true that Scott Donatan, Hank Kim, and yourself, Bob Garfield, are working on a Men from Madison Avenue Gone Wild series?
Yes, that's true.
That is true.
The video that you couldn't see on TV.
I'll
tell you, the one with Hank, Scott, and me in a meeting, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah?
Scott says to Hank, what do you think, Hank? And Hank says, well, I'm going to defer to Bob. And I say, well, you know, I'm just... I just don't know. Let's move on to the next subject. And I know it sounds dry, but it's all in the body language.
And for those that may not be familiar with the name, Scott Donatan, editor, of course, of Advertising Age magazine, Hank Kim, senior editor of Ad Critic, and Bob Garfield, the omnipresent advertising guru of the Northern Hemisphere, I guess.
And for one final time, the book is called...
Well, it's called And Now a Few Words from Me.
And Bob, we are out of time.
And Bob Garfield. Bob, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure as always. Have a wonderful 2004 and enjoy what remains of the holiday season.
Thanks. We'll have you back on next year.
We'll get you back, no doubt about it. Happy New Year, Bob. Almost. On The Advertising Show with Ray Shellens and Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee.
That's Lake Dinah Shore on Nothing the Advertising Show with
Life
Ray Shellens and Brad Forsyth. Dinah, you
so
stop singing now.
What are you
saying? What the heck?
It's a good example of a memorable jingle, like Bob was saying last second.
Yeah. And it's true. There are no new memorable jingles. There aren't any.
There's some.
Just because people have gotten away from
old music they revive for today, but yeah.
Right. Which I'm not so sure I agree with. I just don't know. I don't know.
Well, like Bob said, the whole idea is to, you know, engage the demographic baby boomer into the days of yesterday.
Sure.
The times
Whatever.
Of yesterday.
Well, like the Michael McDonald stuff, they're playing that. They use those songs. Those are quote-unquote, which I don't believe, in jazz songs. You know, this new jazz format, it's more like a beautiful music of the new century.
Yeah.
It's like,
hey, kind of makes you, it's the elevator music of our generation.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's kind of strange we're seeing that. But Michael McDonald has been repurposed beyond MCI into that as well.
But I like what, I think it was Mary Lou Quinlan said many shows ago, 50 is the new 30. I'm
right.
hanging on to that. And then we had Sam Hill
so
many months
there's
ago.
Hope there, isn't there?
Sam Hill said many months ago, he said, baby boomers are, you know, going to boogie until their walker falls over. I like that.
You know, I hope I do too.
Well,
you know,
it's unique to our generation, you know. I mean, when you were young and your parents were older.
Right.
They weren't, you know, they were accepting of their age. They just kind of eased on into middle age and on into
right.
Old age. And it wasn't, you know, but our generation, we want to stay young.
Mm-hmm.
50 is the new 30.
Good.
All
I
right.
like that. I'll hang
on
to that.
So when you start dating those 30-year-olds, you could be arrested.
That sounds like another pickup line. There you go. And that's probably true. And probably also get a good kick inside the head there. Anyway, we've got Andy Borowitz up next on the Advertising Show.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
The Pentagon said this past week that it regretted releasing a memo indicating that France sucks, just hours before the U.S. was to ask the French to forgive billions in Iraqi debt. The timing of the memo was unfortunate, said Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz. Concluding, Mr. Wolfowitz said, our timing, much like France itself, sucks. The Wolfowitz memo, which was entitled France, Why It Sucks, was the talk of diplomatic circles in Paris and Washington this past week. If Monsieur Wolfowitz believes that France sucks, he is certainly entitled to his opinion, according to the French foreign minister. But there was no need to list 1,001 reasons. For his part, Mr. Wolfowitz agreed that the length of the memo was a rare misstep for me, adding, I should have gone with my original idea, the top 10 reasons why France sucks. Attempting to mend fences with France, Germany, and Russia, who are still fuming about being shut out of bidding for reconstruction projects in Iraq, Mr. Wolfowitz said that the United States would permit the three allies to bid on one-of-a-kind memorabilia on the auction site eBay. The first eBay item mentioned by Mr. Wolfowitz, an autographed program from Cher's Farewell Tour 2003, went to Russia, who was the highest bidder at $10.50. In other news, former General Wesley Clark shook up his bid for the presidency, replacing his campaign staff with NATO troops.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to BorowitzReport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Always enjoying having Andy on the show. It's been a fun part of 2003, and he'll continue with us into 2004.
You know, and
as long as he's paid his bill.
Wesley Clark has made a good use of his military record in his campaign.
Has he?
I think he has.
Okay.
You know, it differentiates. If he is differentiating himself from his competitors, he's which is certainly not a bad idea.
Yeah, really.
He's done
especially
a good job.
In political.
Yeah,
arena.
Exactly.
Man, it gets old quickly. Sure, it'd be interesting to see what brings 04 with the campaigns and such.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, you know, thinking about your advertising for the fall, you might want to be thinking about getting that media placed earlier than normal.
That's right.
Make sure
That's
you
right.
get your time.
If you are a political advertiser, you get a break on the rate.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And for the radio stations and TV stations that have to take it. It's, Darn.
Yeah. You know, your bit there on Andy reminded me there's a phrase out that kids are saying now.
What?
It sucks to be you. And you say that if somebody's like in a bad place, you know.
Yeah, right.
It sucks to be Joe, you know, whoever it might be. So it sucks to be the French, I guess. I'd like to have heard his top 10.
Yeah.
Top 10 reasons to think the French suck.
I'll dig them up, okay?
I can think of two or three off the top, you pompous ass.
Now. Let's go out with the old and in with the new and everything like that in a positive
New ways
sense.
To hate the French.
No. Hey, Rick Robinson is coming up next Saturday. on the advertising show. He's the National Creative Director of McDonald Media out of Los Angeles. That's where we'll be talking to Rick from. And we're talking next week about outdoor advertising. This is a very good topic and one that we haven't touched on in a little while, I guess it was. We had Diane Simony as part of that as well. You might have heard her on the show. But the advertising show will be back, and we'll look forward to talking with Rick next weekend. Bob Garfield, thanks again. And to those of you who will be celebrating, please do so carefully and make it a safe and a happy holiday New Year here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Almost, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And don't forget about Bob's book. There's another plug for it. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production. We'll see you next week.